well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. When you heard about Christ and you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. When you heard about Christ, how many of you have heard about Christ? When you heard about Christ and were taught, how many were taught about the things of Christ? In him, in accordance with the truth, we know truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, right? We know he is absolute truth. And we know that the Bible says truth does what for us? It frees us. Truth brings liberty to us. So we're taught that in Christ we have liberty. In Christ we have freedom because he is truth. It's in Jesus. The truth, the real truth is in Jesus. In circumstances and situations like we've seen in Texas, what is the truth? And I'm so glad that we're hearing people stand up and say, the reality is it isn't a thing. It isn't an object. It isn't a weapon. It is a heart. The truth. The truth is sin in a heart. Because I could pick up a chair and take somebody's life tonight. I could throw somebody through a window tonight. I could pick up one of these objects up here and hit somebody over the head with it tonight and use it as a weapon. The issue, Donna, is the heart. It's the condition of the human heart. And that's what truth is. And until we address the real issues that are going on in our world today, we want to put a Band-Aid on things. We want to use certain things and make them the excuse. The excuse is that there's sin in this world. There's sin in this world. We live in this sinful, fallen state of the world around us, and because of that, we witness and see difficult, bad, hard things at times. But in the midst of that, you and I have been taught the truth. And it's our responsibility to share the truth, because if we claim to be set free, why would we want others, Karen, to remain in bondage? If we've experienced truth, if we've experienced the liberty and the freedom and the grace and the mercy of God in our lives, and we've truly been taught that, and we've turn from sinful ways, and we focus on doing good things and righteous things in the name of the Lord, then why would we not want to propel those things as we see darkness come? We're called to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. In other words, we bring flavor to it. That's what he's called. And see, so we get taught these things and the truth about Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self. How many of you have been taught that? You've been taught that? Well, certainly you have if you've been here any course of time, because we talked to you about that. Your old self, the old way, the unredeemed you, the you that was before salvation, the you that was before King of Kings and Lord of your Lords, the you that came before being baptized in Christ, the you that came before taking up your cross and following him, the you, the old you that's no longer alive, the old you that died to self. We've been taught that. The old us, the before Christ us, must succumb to the new way, the new values, the new morals, the new morality, the new righteous deeds and acts, because now we follow after righteousness. Well, at least that's what we're supposed to follow after righteousness. The old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. See, the old person before Christ has deceitful and is controlled and ruled and dictated to by deceitful desires. Selfishness, selfish ambition, greed, lusts. And when I say lusts, that just doesn't mean, you know, pretty much all adults here. That just doesn't mean sexual. We can lust for many things, Sherry. We can be consumed for lust in different areas and aspects of our life. We're called out of those things. We're no longer to be selfish or self-centered, but we take on this amazing thing which we know to be the mind of Christ because we've been taught about it. And so we take on the mind of Christ and we focus on helping one another. We focus on loving one another. If one of us hurt, we all hurt. If one cries, we all cry. If one of us have need, we all have need. Because that's the way Christ is. But the old man, the old way, the flesh, the one who was unredeemed, it didn't look at things like that. It was, I've got to look out for myself. I've got to look for what I want or what I desire. As of Sunday morning, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people's ways paid to Israel that had a desire to go. As of today, I know of 10 people whose ways have been paid by someone else. You know what, Dan? That somebody was not selfish. Somebody did not have selfish ambition. Somebody took a vacation fund. Somebody took money out of the bank that was meant for something else. And you know, the amazing thing is, every one of these people really were on the hinge of whether they could go or not go because of the financial part of it. I was talking with somebody on Sunday morning and they said, you know, Pastor, nobody paid my way to go, but I don't need anybody to pay my way. I'm okay. I'm okay, and God knows that. So I'm able to pay my own way. But thank God, somebody's reaching out and helping others who may not have been able to pay their own way. But that's, you can't have a lot, you can't have much selfishness in you, Karen, if you're opening up your pocket for $3,000. Right? $3,000. How many of you tonight would welcome $3,000 if I was handing it out? If I said I got $3,000 in my pocket and I'm going to give it to the first one up that comes up here and hugs me. It's going to be an ugly mess, huh, Jake? Yeah. That's sacrificial. That's beyond the norm of the natural. Because natural says, well, you know what I could do? You know what I could do with George, you know what I could do with $3,000? Yeah, we all know what we could do with $3,000. And most of the first thoughts would be, well, I'm going to buy this, or I'm going to buy that, or I'm going to go here, or I'm going to go there. What if God gave you $3,000 tonight, and he said to you, go give it to so-and-so and tell them you want to bless them. Well, but that's selflessness. When somebody will put something in your hand and you're willing to give it away, when God blesses us and we're willing to use that's kind of a real sacrificial kind of love, isn't it? That's not worldly. Worldly doesn't do those kind of things. There's something, and I'm not saying the person who does it is always even a perfect person. I'm sure there are things in their own life, maybe they got to get straightened out, but there's got to be something in their heart that God's dealing with to do something like that. Old man, sinful way would not do that. We want to pray for people and ask God to heal them, and we hear people today saying, like, we're sick of prayer. What's prayer going to do? Well, we've heard people who've lost loved ones and said, if it wasn't for prayer, we'd lose our minds. If it wasn't for the nation praying for us, we'd lose our minds. If it wasn't for the world praying for us, we would have no hope. We have hope. And thank God that we can cover one another, you know, in prayer. And support and things like that. being in the new, the regenerated, the mind of Christ, the one who looks unto Jesus and says, okay, what do you want me to do? Not what I want someone to do for me, but what do you want me to do? How can I be a blessing? How can I be a part of the kingdom? What do you desire for me to do? Not what I want someone to do for me, but what do you want me? You know what I'm saying? Because in that, there's no selfishness. But the old, the ungenerated life was corrupted by its deceitful desires. But we are to be made new in the attitude of our mind and put on a new self, created to be like God. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I'm going to tell you something. Because this is what I sense in my spirit. I'm sensing this in my spirit. You came to the right place tonight. You absolutely came to the right place tonight. Because after tonight, when you leave this building, there are going to be moments in your life, I'm telling you. How you respond to the moment will be up to you, but I'm telling you prophetically right now, there will be moments in your life that God will arrest your spirit in the middle of a situation or circumstance and say, get out. Get out of there. Let me become more specific. You may be in a movie theater and the Holy Spirit may say, you shouldn't be here. You may be in a situation and the Holy Spirit may say, I don't want you to get something wrong. Did I say to you, you'd never be able to go to a movie theater? No. But there may be opportunities that you may be in one that the Holy Spirit says, psst, you shouldn't be watching that. You may be in the middle of a conversation and the Holy Spirit's going to whisper in your ear and say, no. You may be in a situation or circumstance where somebody's wanting you to be a part of something and the Holy Spirit's going to whisper in your ear and say, run as fast as you can run. But see, in every one of those situations, Jill, there is a decision to be made. I said, thank God I wasn't Jesus, because I'd have killed everybody on the day of Calvary. I would have. I'd have wiped them all out. I'd have said to the Father, you know what, let's just kill them all and start over, you know. I got to do this for them, you know. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus that he willingly came and he sacrificed. Man, you think what he sacrificed, huh? I mean, he left glory. He left glory and came down here. For what man did to him? He says, you think they hate you? You think they hate you? Do you know what they did to me? They hated me way worse than they hate you. And look what they did to him. He was perfect. We try to please. We try to live a life to please people. To. Man, that's a road of misery. And you know, Facebook and Instagram and I'm just telling you. People are so addicted to those things. When people don't pay attention to something you post. I'm not saying you in general, but you know what I mean. If I post something and nobody goes on and likes it, why ain't anybody liking my stuff? We get upset. We want people to validate us so badly. We're looking for people to validate us. We want people to say, oh, Sherry, your hair is amazing. You look so beautiful. And if we don't get those validations, somehow we become sad and wounded and hurt. On the cross of Calvary, he validated you with the very first drop of blood that came out of his veins and hit the ground. You were validated as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God. Can we even fathom that tonight? We need to walk different. We need to talk different. We need to conduct ourselves different. We are royalty. We've been validated, Gary, by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who created us to be in his very image and likeness. Jehovah. Man, that's powerful stuff, isn't it, when you think of it like that? Do I need somebody to like my picture on Facebook? I've been validated. I told my wife the other night, I've been rejected my whole life. My whole life I have felt rejected. My whole life till Jesus set me free. Gary, I've been validated in him. I said to my wife, I learned the other night. I lived a long time being miserable and worrying about people liking me or rejecting me or whatever. Till I came to the place, Tina, where I realized I was validated. I may not have been wanted and I may have been rejected, but I've been validated. He calls me by name. The one who created the entire, the one who said, let there be light, out of that same mouth, out of that same breath, says, Sean. Man, that blows my mind. That blows my mind. That may be too big for some of you, but it's truth, man. It's reality. Don't let anybody steal away from you what God has validated you. You are his. Matter of fact, Scripture says you're the apple of his eye. That's a Are you acting like the apple of his eye this past week? Huh? And you know what? The amazing thing is he still loves us. Even when we mess up, even when we fail, he's right there to pick us right back up. Because you know the amazing thing, Jason? Here's the amazing thing. He knew you or me or anyone else was going to screw up. He knew that before we even screwed up. But he chose to love us anyway. We struggle to even love each other that way. Oh, you screwed up? Well, I'm not your friend anymore. You know what you need to say? Oh my gosh, they're not going to be my friend no more. This is so horrible. You need to say, thank God. You know what? You and me ain't hanging out anymore. Thank God. That would shock them, huh? Somebody that's trying to lessen your validation, to make you feel unworthy, says, George, I ain't going to hang around you anymore. Praise God. Man, I've been thinking how to get out of this relationship for a long time. Praise God. If they don't think you're worthy, there's one who calls you worthy. There's someone that treats you unworthily. You need to know that person isn't good for you because God didn't create you to be treated unworthily. You are created in his image, in his likeness, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off. Listen now, catch this. We need to put off falsehood. It's interesting that he started with that, isn't it? I could think of a whole lot of other things, George, I'd have probably started with if I was thinking things that we need to put off. Stop going to the strip club. Stop, you know, I could think of a lot of things on the, you know, stop stealing. Stop cheating on your spouse. Stop stealing money from your work. Stop deceiving people. Put off falsehoods. Or falsehood. Put off falsehood. What would that represent? Does anybody have a clue what that means? Put off falsehood. Anyone dare to tackle it tonight? What would be put? Well, you don't know how to put off falsehood if you don't know what a falsehood is. Anybody have an idea what a falsehood is? Yeah, it's really not complicated. It's just that simple. It is that simplistic. A lie. Anything that's untruthful. Put it off. Sounds pretty simple, huh? Yeah. Have you ever lived like something you're not? Have you ever? You don't have to put your hand up. You don't have to admit to it. But we've all. How many? Have you ever put on a smile and you weren't? Nancy, have you ever been sad on the inside but you smiled on the outside? Has anybody ever said to you, "Hey, Nancy, how you doing today?" And you said, "Oh, I'm doing good." And the inside, you're thinking, "Oh, family knew." Have you ever? Yeah. Donna, have you ever done that? Has somebody ever said to you, "Donna, how you doing?" You're thinking, you know, you and Gil are fighting some battles right now. But you trust in the Lord. But I'm sure there are moments that you think, geez, you know? And somebody may say, "How you doing, Donna?" And you're like, "Oh, I'm good." And on the inside, you're thinking, "Well, you know, this was a rough day. But I can't say that." Well, that's a falsehood. Or then just deceiving people to believe. Let me tell you a falsehood. I saw this. This was the craziest thing. There was this guy who was, I don't know him, never saw him, don't know nothing about him, but I went and looked it up because of an article I read in a Christian magazine that I get, and it said this individual, he's supposedly a comedian, and he has a real striking resemblance to Joel Osteen. And so he wanted to go to a Joel Osteen service somewhere to see how far he could get before people didn't realize, till people, did you see that? Till people, the way you were laughing, I thought you saw it. To see how far he could get before people realized it wasn't. So he pulls up, you know, he pulls up in this little Hyundai SUV, and he says to the security guard, "Can you tell me where Joel Osteen's parking spot is?" He didn't say he was Joel Osteen. He just said, "Can you tell me where Joel Osteen's parking spot is?" Well, there's a fairly striking resemblance, you know. I mean, if you really looked at him, you knew it wasn't him. Guards, "Oh, yes. Yes, Pastor Joel. Just go right around. Move the cone. Go right around. Go right down." They took him straight down to the arena. He got out of the car and, "Bless you. Good to see you. Glad you came tonight. I'll see you inside." "Oh, Pastor, can I get a selfie with you?" "Absolutely." Click, taking selfies. He walks by the book place where they're selling books, Gary. He says, "Thanks for buying the book." Goes inside. And on the way in, he says, "Hey, is there like a cocktail bar around here where a guy can get a drink?" And they went, "Oh, that's so funny. You can get a soda over there." And he said, "Does anybody sell beer around here?" And the one lady goes, "Oh, Pastor Joel, you wouldn't drink beer." And he just walked right by and smiling and waving at people. Went the whole way into the arena. Security guard got on the thing and said, "We have J.O. in the building, and he wants to come down to the platform. We're bringing him down." They walk down through the thing, and there's, you know, a few hundred people starting to gather in, and they're all like, "Oh, Joel, selfie." They're taking pictures, and he's waving and said, "God bless you." Complete falsehood. Goes the whole way down to the platform. The whole way down to the front of the auditorium, at the base of the platform, people are, "Joel, I've known your family. I knew your dad." People are, you could hear it on the video. And the guy's, bless you, thanks for coming tonight. And the guy who's videoing it's going, we got to get out of here. You know, somebody's going to catch on sooner or later. Well, just then, Joel Osteen's security said, "Wait a minute, that's not him. He ain't even here yet." They go out and they start chasing the guy, and they finally caught him outside in the parking lot. Then the video ends, so I don't know whatever happened to the guy. But this guy lived this thing out. He was the whole way, and people believed it was him, the whole way into the thing. Has anybody ever caused you to believe something that wasn't true? Have you ever in your life grabbed hold? I got 2 minutes left. Where is this night gone? Falsehood. He was projecting a falsehood the whole time. It wasn't even really real. He was basically lying. Put off falsehood and speak. See the next part of the verse gives you the answer. And speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, say, "In my anger." How many get angry? You're putting on a falsehood if you say you don't. You know, Scripture says be angry, but don't sin. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. That's why it's important that you let stuff go. Because if you don't let go whatever you're carrying tonight that you're mad about, you're going to wrestle with that during your sleep. And you get up tomorrow, it's even going to fester more. And if you don't deal with it, you're going to get madder about it. How many of you have ever got madder over a situation the longer you thought about it? The more it went on. The more you toiled in it, the more you pondered it, the more you rehearsed the conversation, the more you thought about what that person did, the more you listened to the words that they said. Anybody? Sure you have. I've been there. And it just makes you angrier, and it makes you angrier. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give the devil a foothold. Because when you go to bed at night and you're carrying that with you, you give him the opportunity to just expound that thing in your head and work his junk in you. My wife and I, for 32 years, have never fallen asleep mad at each other. We had a disagreement. We saw something differently. Lynn, we never went to bat. My wife has never said to me, 32 years, you ain't sleeping in this bed tonight. Go to the couch. Go to the spare bedroom. Go out to the car. Go to a motel. 32 years, she has never once uttered those words to me. If we've had a disagreement or saw something there, Karen, 32 years, there's not a night that my wife doesn't say to me, come on, you ready to go to bed? 32 years, I've heard that every night for 32 years. You ready to go to bed? We never go to bed apart from each other. 32 years. Not going to give the devil. Now, I know some of you are looking at me like, seriously, dude? Come on, man. You ought to live with the one I live with. No. You got to make your mind up. You got to say, I'm not going to give the devil a foothold. And sometimes you just got to come to the conclusion that you look at that one and you say, I'm for you, I'm not against you. I love you. We may see this differently. We may not see that. And you know what? We may never, ever, 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 ever see it the same way. But I love you. I love you. And I don't want to go to bed mad at you. It's possible, I'm telling you. I'm telling you it's possible. 32 years we've lived it out. Now tonight we probably get mad at each other and won't be able to go to bed mad. No, 32 years we've been able to do it. But you know what? When you set your mind to something, you can accomplish it, can't you? When you say this is I'm going to do this and I'm not going to, you stick to it. And that's the way you need to be when it comes to your anger. Don't let your anger control you, because the enemy will get. And that's why we're seeing people doing some of the crazy stuff, because they're not dealing with their issues. They're not dealing with the anger. They're not dealing with the sin in their own life. And it's easier to lash out at other people and hurt other people than to deal with self. Holy Spirit's going to come after some of you in a good way, because it's good for you. He's going to get you. He's going to say, no, don't. You're going to be watching something at home on your TV, and he's going to say, You're going to have to turn it off. There's something that you maybe laughed at for years, and he's going to say to you, don't laugh at that no more, because it's not righteous. It's not righteous. We got to put unrighteousness off. There's just certain things that we... And there's other things that are great, and we can experience, you know, great things and laugh at things and have a good time with things. But when it's unrighteous and it's destroying the core of who we are, the fiber of what God created us to be, then we need to put it off. We need to put it off. You with me? Let's pray.